In just a moment, Generations with Kevin Swanson. But first, this. The World View in 5 minutes.
It's Friday, October 16th, 2015 AD. This is The World View in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. It's been over a year since some Nigerian fathers and mothers have seen their daughters. Their arms now ache to hold them. Out of the 200 Nigerian Chibok girls captured by the terrorist group Boko Haram, few have been released. According to one girl who escaped, those who would not renounce their Christian faith were shot. Matthew 10:22 says, "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved." Please, pray these girls will be released and reunited with their parents. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry and State Department Ambassador-at-Large for International Religious Liberty, David Saperstein, held a press conference Wednesday where they presented the 2014 Religious Freedom Report. The report focuses on martyrdom and religious persecution trends around the world. At the conference, Kerry said about religious freedom, quote, "The message at the heart of this report is that countries benefit when their citizens fully enjoy the rights to which they are entitled," unquote. That's why The World View hopes to see you at the Freedom 2015 conference in Des Moines, Iowa, November 6th and 7th. Stand with us for the liberty for which our forefathers gave their lives and wherein Christ has made us free. Go to freedom2015.org to register. That's freedom2015.org. After hearing a report from Aid to the Church in Need, Britain's Prime Minister David Cameron is calling for action on behalf of the Iraqi Church. It's expected that the Iraqi Church may be on the verge of total destruction unless someone intervenes within the next few years, the report said. Cameron reacted with these words, quote, "No believer should have to live in fear. And this is why the British government is committed to promoting religious freedom and tolerance at home and around the world. It is also why the work of organizations such as Aid to the Church in Need is so crucial. This report serves as a voice for the voiceless, from their prison cells and the places far from home where they have sought refuge." Unquote. Psalm 27 reminds us, "Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of our God." They will stay in Afghanistan after all. President Barack Obama announced a change of plans Thursday and has decided to keep 5,500 troops in Afghanistan after he leaves office. Previously, the administration had said all but a few troops would be withdrawn from the region before Obama's second term draws to a close. It was reported that political wrangling between military leaders led to the current decision as they continue to suppress the rise of the Taliban. On Wednesday, the White House told those in the Central African Republic they would send 90 troops into the country to help defend the innocent against the spread of Boko Haram, the Islamic terrorist group, and other militant groups. White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest said the troops would be armed for defense, but would not participate in any conflicts. Troops begin their journey Monday, as a total of 300 could be sent by the end of the operation. Praise the Lord! The captives have been liberated, and the prisons have been opened. More than 150 were arrested in a nationwide sex trafficking sting on Wednesday. The youngest of the victims was reportedly 12 years old. This is part of an operation started by the FBI over 7 years ago. Isaiah 61:1 says, "The Spirit of God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound." If at first you don't succeed, try again. Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, will not be dissuaded so easily. He returned to the United States Saturday after having been shut out from Australia for his pro-life message. He had plans for a nationwide speaking tour in Australia when his visa was revoked. Newman told the World View he had received an invitation from an Australian pro-life group to speak. When the news of Australia preventing him from arriving in the country became public, many turned out in large numbers to support his cause. He also said that he is positive that the far left is running the government because of the speakers they will allow down under.
Well, I haven't seen any of the polling data, but I can say that the rallies and the speaking places where I was due to attend actually swelled after my arrest and deportation because it became an international news story, and people were horrified at my treatment and horrified at the fact that abortion was ongoing even in the later gestational ages. So it was certainly something that caused an adverse public reaction for the part of the pro-abortion crew. And I would say it was a positive reaction from the perspective of Right to Life of Australia.
People might consider it the most expensive pizza ever, but $1,046 of it was a gift. In a video of an October 4th pizza delivery, a Domino's driver named Natasha made a pizza drop at Sycamore Creek Church in Pickerington, Ohio. She delivered the pizza while the church was meeting, and Reverend Steve Markle invited Natasha to come to the front of the church. He surprised her by asking her what a normal tip was for her. She answered that it was $10. He pulled $15 from his pocket, but it did not stop there. He related to Natasha that the church had been learning about generosity in the past few weeks and that they had collected a tip as a church for her. The tip totaled $1,046. Natasha left in tears, overwhelmed by the generosity of the church and their testimony of trust in our Master who owns the cattle on a thousand hills. And that's the worldview on this Friday, October 16th, in the year of our Lord, 2015. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ.
Just when you thought it was
safe. Dylan. Turn your radio dial on again. Hey, I've missed this.
I have too. It's Stephen Bill.
Yeah. Good to see you.
Good to see you too.
Yeah.
Kevin, I think, I guess he's in Hawaii.
Really?
Yeah.
And we're in my basement. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is a beautiful fall day here in Colorado.
Yes, it is.
And you know, it does kind of feel odd, just you and me, because you do something with Kevin, and I do something with Kevin, and when Kevin's not here, it kind of feels naked.
Naked? Speaking of naked.
Yeah.
I guess Fort Collins this year is going to, their city council is deciding on an ordinance, a new city ordinance, or a redefining of a city ordinance on public nudity.
What?
Isn't that something? I didn't know people even voted on that kind of stuff. But
I usually just look in the mirror and just say, cover up as much as you can.
Yeah, there's still something sticking out of your shirt.
Yeah, I know. they're actually revising their policy. Ordinances.
Yeah, they're looking for input. So if you're listening in Fort Collins and you don't know about this, the what they're doing right now, it's illegal for any woman to go topless in Fort Collins unless she is breastfeeding, nursing a child. And then, you know, I think people would prefer it to be discreet. However, they're looking at removing that ban and having allowing
good
for,
choice of words there,
yeah,
Steve.
Allowing for women to go topless, and that's still
other than in strip clubs, right?
Right, right.
So public nudity would be accepted in Fort Collins.
Yeah, and that would be from the waist up. Waist down nudity for people 10 and older. I don't know where they picked the arbitrary 10, but for people 10 years of age and older, you still have to be clothed around your waist.
You know, that reminds me, there was a very popular book several years ago back in, I believe, 88, by Richard John Neuhaus, and it was called The Naked Public Square. Now he wasn't talking about public nudity. He was talking about how the many crises in American life can be traced back to a crisis of faith. And so now we're talking about the naked public square in not Boulder, Colorado, Yeah. Not in California, but in
Fort Collins,
Colorado, which is a very family-friendly town.
Well, you would have thought so.
You'd thought so, yes.
But apparently not anymore.
So now that brings a new meaning to the naked public square.
Yes, it does.
That is just bizarre. So, Christians need to voice their opinion on this. They need to get a hold of their council members and say what they need to say about this. But why would they even suggest that it was necessary to change the ordinance?
Well, I think that there's all this discrimination and intolerance and things like that are going on. You know, men get to go around without a shirt on, and so why not women?
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, that reminds me, several years ago in Brattleboro, Vermont, which is in the southeastern part of the state, it's on the border with New Hampshire.
Yeah.
We do a camp, Worldview Academy does a camp in New Hampshire, in Keene, New Hampshire, and so this is how I heard about it, because we had a family come over from Vermont, drop their students off, and they said, did you hear what happened in our town? And I said, no, and they were embarrassed by it, but what happened was, evidently, in Vermont, they don't have, in a lot of the cities, they don't have public ordinances against public nudity. So they don't have ordinances against public nudity. So, public or non-public.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, somebody took advantage of that and just decided to strip down in Brattleboro.
Wow.
And then word got out somehow. And people somehow.
Apparently, it was truly public.
It wasn't covered up, you know. Yeah.
There was no cover up.
No cover up. And so then nudists started showing up and started walking down the streets. And there was actually a guy who was riding his bicycle around town, just buck naked.
Wow.
And parents were complaining to the city council because they had their kids out in the park, you know, little kids out in the park, and this guy'd show up. And the town council actually debated, we can't really suppress his freedom of expression. That's a First Amendment liberty. We can't really tell him he has to be covered up. And so people were frustrated with the town council, but it turns out that Brattleboro is a very artsy town. There are a lot of galleries and there are a lot of shops. And what they would do during the summer is they would have these wine and cheese kind of nights, and people would go from gallery to gallery, and they would drink some wine and eat some cheese and then hopefully purchase some stuff in these galleries. So evidently the town council is very tied in with the arts community, and some of the town council members have their own galleries, and lo and behold, guess who shows up? Buck naked.
Wow.
The guy on the bicycle, and he's coming in and eating wine and drinking wine and eating cheese.
Yeah.
And people are now upset because now
he didn't have a wallet.
Yes. He wasn't going to buy anything.
He wasn't going to buy anything.
No. No. And people mistook him for the model for the art class.
Yeah.
You know? And so suddenly the town fathers got a conscience and voted no public nudity.
Well, you know, it's amazing. When you go back to the Constitution, the United States Constitution, there are two things that you can how you can limit. It's either to tell you what you can do, or to tell you what you can't do. Now, the telling you what you can't do list can be really long because there's you can come up with almost an infinite number of things that you can't do, and so the Federalists. Or the anti-federalists were saying, all we need is the Constitution. We really don't need the Bill of Rights because the Constitution says this is what government can do. And so anything that's not listed, then you assume I can't do that. But then the Federalists came along and said, no, we want to have the Bill of Rights to let them know these are things you can't do. And so you would think that we wouldn't need a city ordinance on public nudity. If it doesn't say that you can, you should assume that you can't unless it's allowed. But apparently, people don't actually think that way anymore.
So now here we are, the naked public square. Once again, we've gone from a book that deals with religion and democracy in America as a title to Brattleboro, Vermont. And now it's kind of leapt across the continent to Fort Collins. And here we are fighting it again. We're fighting naked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't fight naked.
Yeah. And I would, anybody who's listening to this now, you know, go ahead and call the Fort Collins City Council, even if you don't live there, because if it gets allowed there, it could be becoming to a neighborhood near you as well.
That is just really strange to me that they would even have to question that and have a debate upon that. Because it's obvious that men are attracted visually.
Yes.
And, well, you know, I guess that's what the problem is. The educational system, and there is a college in Fort Collins, is teaching students that there's no difference between men and women.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, do you remember the there was a cover on Time Magazine, it was like 1990, I think it was, where it, you know, was asking the question, why are men and women so different? And then in the subtitle it says, many think that they are born that way. And I'm thinking, if you can't tell the difference between a girl and a boy after they're born, that's not a science problem. That's a eyesight problem. Yeah. You know, you need glasses.
It's amazing the lengths we go to subvert the truth, to kind of undo what is obvious to everybody. It takes years to teach people that what is isn't
right.
True.
Yeah. And the Bible talks about, you know, woe to the person who calls good evil and evil good. And you know, that's what's happening, is that people are now calling good evil and they're calling evil good.
Yeah, it does remind me that we get to play music.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do get to play music.
Yes, we
when
do.
When I'm with Kevin, he doesn't play any music.
No. Yeah,
he doesn't even let me hum.
Yeah.
No.
Well, I probably wouldn't let you either.
No. But I think we should play some music to take us into the break.
Take us into the break. All right, here we go.
Boogie dad, boogie dad. There he goes. Boogie dad, boogie dad.
And he ain't wearing no clothes.
What if they call him the street?
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
That's the thing on 2 feet.
Boogie dad, boogie dad.
He's just as proud as he can be. So his anatomy, he gonna give us a peek.
What if they call him the street?
Parental freedom, medical freedoms, religious freedoms, substantial freedoms. Are they going away? Will America look like North Korea, Sweden, or Canada anytime soon? What is happening to religious freedoms in America? Folks, this is the issue as American Christians approach the 2016 elections. That's why the Freedom 2015 Conference in Des Moines, November 6th and 7th. You won't want to miss the speakers, the challenge, the equipping, the celebration of liberty, the presidential forum, and the presidential straw poll. Your family, your church's future hangs on this. Register now at freedom2015.org. That's freedom2015.org.
Hello, everyone. This is your Action News reporter with all the news that is news across the nation on the scene at the supermarket. There seems to have been some disturbance here. Pardon me, sir. Did you see what happened?
Yeah, I did. I was standing over by the tomatoes, and here he comes, running through the pole base, through the fruits and vegetables, naked as a jaybird. And I hollered over to Ethel. I said, "Don't look, Ethel." And it's too late. She don't been in.
Ray Stevens, a 1974 classic.
The streak.
Do you remember when that first came out?
Streaking? I do. Yes. Yeah. They would streak at football games and they'd streak at athletic events. And any public gathering, there would be somebody who would try to streak.
Yeah.
And it was to flaunt, you know, social norms.
Yeah.
And it was the tail end of the 60s revolution, I guess.
The non-anti-disestablishmentarianism.
That's easier for you to say.
Yeah, even in my little town of Scott City, Kansas, western Kansas, we talked about that. I was in fourth grade when that happened. So how old were you?
I was married and had kids in fourth grade.
I thought you looked pretty old.
So, but you know they made a song about it, and they made it funny. They were poking fun at something that was actually a serious challenge to the norms of the culture at the time, And it's back again, except now we've got city councils advocating streaking, if you will, and there's no shame.
Yeah, there is no shame. There's no going to God's word to see what God says. And that's happening even in, you know, national denominations. You've got some of the Episcopal churches, some of the Presbyterian Church, PCUSA, who's allowing for homosexuality. Some of the Catholic churches are doing the same thing. And it goes even beyond shame when we get to there. It's going to shaking their fist in the face of God and saying, we don't care what you say. We're going to do what we want to do.
Yeah, you're not the boss over me.
Yeah.
And we forget that, why do we wear clothes? Why do we wear clothes? And I've asked students this at Worldview Academy camps.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Yeah, give me a reason for wearing clothes. And they say, because it's against the law. I said, no, give me a reason. No, because laws can be man-made laws.
Right.
And every culture has some form of modesty. You know, some fewer than others.
Yeah.
Okay. But there is always a form of modesty in every culture. Why is that? And it always goes back to Genesis 1, 2, and 3. You can trace everything that we as Christians believe back to those three chapters. I think every doctrine rests on those three chapters. From, why do you wear clothes? Because Adam and Eve sinned, and as a result, they realized they were naked, and they were ashamed. And so God made coverings for them from the skins of animals.
Right. God was the first one to spill blood
yes.
on this world.
Because, not because of nakedness, but because of shame due to sin. Because of sin, everything was turned upside down. We are now in a naked public square, as Richard John Neuhaus wrote his title of his book, because without a Christian foundation, anything is acceptable. Anything can be, if you will, exposed. And that's the problem in our culture. We have forgotten shame. We have forgotten sin. And basically, men have forgotten God. And so we run naked through the public square, you know, flaunting that we are in control, that nobody's the boss over us. And that's the problem in our culture, whether it is, you know, something as goofy and as silly and can be held up in the national press and mocked in the national press like a city ordinance dealing with women can go topless.
Yeah.
As in Fort Collins, to something as serious as the Supreme Court's decision to strike down the definition of marriage and assume that they, in their black robes, are not naked before God and subject to his rulings.
Yeah, if you read throughout the Old Testament, especially when Israel was on their downfall, God came in and said, okay, if they want to do this, so they're going to do this and this and this. However, as a result, I'm going to send them into captivity. They're going to have these things happen, and he always left it with, and then they will know that I am the Lord. And that's exactly what he's going to do with us as well. Eventually, they will know that the Lord, he is God, and he is the one who rules all over us. He's not there to do so for, you know, with an iron fist just because he's a killjoy. The cosmic killjoy is because it's for our good. He is the good God who makes rules and makes those regulations for our good and to his glory.
And we can be slaves to sin or slaves to righteousness.
Right. All of us are slaves. It just depends on who's your master. Is it slavery to sin or slavery to the God who loves you?
It reminds me of that old Bob Dylan song, You Gotta Serve Somebody.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
You gotta serve somebody. And here at Generations Radio, we encourage families to sit down and analyze the current events of the day through the lenses of Scripture. And don't retreat from culture. Advance on culture. Don't try to pull away and say, oh, we're not going to even discuss these issues. But you've got to realize that your students, your family is going to be exposed to culture just driving down the street and looking at a billboard.
Right.
Just
or
listening
standing
to
in the line at the grocery store.
Yes, exactly. Because somebody's going to be streaking by with their worldview on display.
And what are worldviews? You talk about worldviews. You do something with Worldview Academy. So you must know something about worldview and, you know, where do they come from?
I know the definition. Okay. I know the definition. a worldview is your framework for understanding existence. And everybody has one. It's even more basic than a philosophy of life. It's more basic than a religion. A worldview is, it's often said that it's like a set of lenses through which you filter the world around you. It's a set of lenses through which you filter reality. Now, everybody has a worldview, and everybody is so used to that worldview that they can operate apparently normally in the world around them. Most people can, unless their worldview is just so whacked that they end up being an Aurora theater shooter.
Or ISIS.
They have a worldview as well. Yeah. Everybody has one. Most worldviews, well, they recognize certain basic things, but they all disagree. And you know, the common notion is, why can't we all just get along? All religions are the same. They all teach just love and acceptance, and they're just all trying to find a way to God. And the answer is, no, let's not show disrespect for the Muslim or the Buddhist or the Hindu or the Christian, for that matter, and try to misrepresent clear distinctives that makes one's worldview unique. And there are two big questions that any good worldview attempts to answer. What is the nature of God?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the nature of man? And all worldviews attempt to answer those two questions, among others. But those are the two big ones. So,
yeah, the atheist would say there is no God,
exactly.
So he has no nature. And so even though he doesn't believe in God, he still has a worldview or a philosophy on the nature of God.
Yeah, he has a belief system. He believes in no God. So a theist believes in God. But among theists, you have Christians, you have Muslims, and you have Jews. So they view the nature of God very differently from each other. You can't lump them together and say, oh, all religions are the same. That's showing a lot of ignorance and also disrespect for those who are sincere Muslims, sincere, you know, Buddhists, sincere Hindus, sincere Christians. Because you can't dismiss it that quickly or easily.
Yeah, when we were at the Albuquerque Balloon Fiesta, there was a guy that was riding around on a scooter, had this shirt on, it said "Practice Tolerance," and it had all the different symbols, you know, of tolerance. And I wanted to go up and say, okay, so what do we not tolerate? You know, if you're practicing tolerance, where's your tolerance level? Where does it go to? And most people have something that they don't tolerate. Usually it's Christians,
right,
with people who wear those types of shirts.
I would have gone up and started taking the air out of his tires.
Yeah.
And see if he was very tolerant.
Practice tolerance. I'm going to do that next time. I'll say, this is from Bill Jackson.
When they arrest you, just say, my name's Bill Jackson.
Yeah.
But how tolerant would he be,
yeah,
if that were the case? And it comes back to your view of the nature of God will then determine also your view of the nature of man, because if the atheist, for example, says that there is no God, then man is the ultimate standard, the ultimate lawgiver, the ultimate measure of all things. And so for the atheist, man is inherently good, or at least perfectible if you just change his environment. So I believe that all other worldviews outside of a biblical Christian worldview get the answer to both of those questions wrong.
Well, you're pretty intolerant.
I am very intolerant, just as the Muslim is intolerant, just as the Jew or the Buddhist or the Mormon or the Hindu.
And the atheist. Who doesn't want us to teach anything that is Christian. They're intolerant.
Right. The nature of man, there's only one worldview that tells us the truth about the nature of man, and that's a biblical Christian worldview. Man is capable of doing great things, but also the next second of committing horrendous atrocities. We are marred. We are misshapen. We were created the image of the Creator in the sense that we are His ambassador on this planet. But what's happened is, because of sin, once again, we now streak through the culture, okay, just buck naked, And we are the sweetest examples of original sin that ever walked the face of the earth. Sin affects everything. That's why we wear clothes. That's why we have laws. That's why we have government. Because sin affects everything. And people tend toward the evil, not toward the good. And it's inherent. It is genetic. And once you understand the answer to those two questions from a biblical worldview, and once you understand that man is basically sinful, then you can begin to realize your need to get in a right relationship with that Creator who made you, because He loved you enough to pay the supreme price and buy you back out of your sin by giving His Son. That is the message of Christianity. Every other world religion attempts to set up a list of rules, do's, and don'ts, but not Christianity. Christianity says, trust Christ, and then He straightens you out from the inside out.
Yeah, Christ is your life. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of our self-will, not the fruit of our self-discipline. It's the fruit of the Spirit. That's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And it is only by the Holy Spirit that that can happen.
And you've got to serve somebody.
That's right.
You've got to serve somebody. It's either going to be the world, the flesh, or the devil. You are a slave to sin, or you are a slave to righteousness, because you are not autonomous. People have to understand that they are the created, not the creator.
That's right. So as we end this program, you can interact with the program by going to Kevin Swanson at, where is he at? Generations.com.
I thought he was in Hawaii. Kevin Swanson at Hawaii.com.
Yeah. Here's his phone. No, I won't give you his phone number. But if you're looking for any type of resources, Kevin has a lot of books. There's Keep the Faith, Volume 1 and 2, which is on education, and there's also religion and sexuality. And you can also get his book Apostate, talking about the men who destroyed the Christian West. And that'll give you some idea as to why we are where we are today. But until next time, it was great to be with Bill again, and I hope that we didn't destroy the Generations program again. Apparently not too bad the last time they let us come back.
Hey, we're on a streak.
That's right.